What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 7 of the Competent Conversations podcast, where we're enlightening others so that they can be the best version of themselves. I'm here with my co-host, Taquan Lino, as always. And today we want to break down Kanye West's latest album, Jesus is King. So I know there's a lot of controversy around the album, as well as if his new enlightenment is real or just a facade. So we want to break that down, as well as just talk about spirituality in general and how a relationship with God can influence your life, because I know people out there have mixed views and whatnot. So I think it's going to be a resourceful thing to break down. So Taquan and I were talking about this actually a couple weeks ago, but we've both been real busy. And, so the episode's coming to you now. But, I had called him after the album came out and told him, like, yo, you got to listen to this, man. And then furthermore, I was like, we should do an episode on it. So he heard about it. He just never got around to listening to it. So he listened to it as well. And he has some interesting takes on it. And I got some of mine as well. So Taquan, what did you think when you first heard the album? And like, what do you think about Kanye West's enlightenment in general?
I think the whole album is great. At first, when I heard the idea it's going to be a religious album, I'm like, yo, my man's really lost it this time. Honestly, that was my first thought, because I'm like, yo, he's done so much. Like, when the project was announced that it was going to be called Yandi, I was expecting something different. Yeah. And I remember after The Life of Pablo was released, he had another album in mind. So since then, I've been like waiting for the album, and it seems like he's been recording, but he's just been scrapping stuff. Yeah. So to hear that he's coming out with a religious album after all this time and after all these Sunday services, I was like, all right, well, let's see what he's got. I'm afraid it might be a flop, but it was good. It was 12 tracks, wasn't too long, wasn't too short, was the right amount of religious content in there. Also, as far as like other artists that stray from the rap game or the hip hop industry and they go into that lane of being a religious artist or whatever, they don't actually sound as good. You know, I think the fact that Kanye has been engineering this whole process with the producing and the guest stars and all that stuff, I think because he's in total control, it made the album sound truly good. Mm-hmm. As far as his faith goes, I believe him. I think he's really going through something in life, and Jesus is leading that car for him. Jesus is taking a hold of his life and showing him the right path to go down.
No, I like that take. I like that take. And I'm going to apologize to you guys right now, because I know I wiped my nose a couple of times. I'm getting over a cold right now. So I didn't bring the tissues. My bad, guys. Don't think I'm nasty. But, when I heard the album, it was kind of a similar thing as to what you said. Like, I felt like he was still being Kanye. He took his musical genius and just I heard it. I didn't feel like I was listening to an overly gospel album where it's just like, just I'm not gonna say basic praise, like gospel albums are basic praise, but it was just a whole bunch of religious talk, and it's only like it's not the same flavor as hip hop. So I feel like Kanye was able to take hip hop and his diverse musical ear and diverse and powerful message for God. And I watched several interviews on top of just listening to the album. Mindset is right now, and I think that a key thing that he's trying to exhibit, as well as something that other people should take away from it, is that he's really trying to revolutionize his daily life, his daily habits, his rituals, the things that he does. Like he was saying, he gives himself a limited amount of curse words per day. He talks about he's had a recent argument with his wife, telling her that she shouldn't show her body off as much. I get it. I was in that certain mindset when we were going after different goals. But now that I'm a man of God, I'm not a big fan of you showing your body off. And I think she wasn't really at that transformation point with him yet. But he was doing that. I was watching another interview when he talks about, he wants to make sure that at nighttime, he spends that time with his family, because I'm going to just add extra to it. It seems like, that's the time for nurturing. And he just wants to have that time to bond with them. And he said, even at nighttime, when the kids are going to sleep, his wife may go watch the news or Dateline, and he'll be reading the Bible, because he wants to continue to feed himself with that knowledge. So that's the difference between people who say, hey, I'm a Christian, and actually living it. Because when you're taking that conscious effort to change the way you think, the way you speak, the way you act in your daily habits, that's a vastly different effort than just saying, yeah, I believe in this thing, because your actions really dictate or show if you believe in something or not.
As far as the interviews go, I think a lot of people tend to look at Kanye's interviews, whether they look at the whole thing or like a little part of it, and they try to make him out to be the bad guy all the time. Like, everything he says is opinionated to the purpose where everybody's like, oh, he's just trying to stir some controversy. You know, like, we can't just let the man believe what he wants to believe. Like, why do we always have to, like, fight Kanye on everything he does, right? Part of the interview that I seen was him talking about how he was in debt 1 year. Like, he made so much money 1 year, and he was still $35 million in debt. And then the next year, he got $68 million back on his tax return. And the only thing that changed in that year was him devoting his life to God. Mm-hmm. Everybody was like looking at it like, oh, Kanye's talking about give your life to God and you'll be rich. Give your life to God and you'll make a lot of money. Like, he's crediting God with his financial success. And I think that's the wrong viewpoint. Honestly, his whole takeaway from that was, listen, when you devote your life to Christ, devote your life to God, good things happen to you. Being in debt was stressing him out to the point where, you know, he was going through mental breakdowns or whatever. When he changed his life, yeah, that $68 million came back to him, but he's also in a happier place because he was going through money problems. You know what I mean? Absolutely. It's not like saying, like, I'm going to sell this Jesus album to make money to pay my bills. That wasn't the case. And him putting out the album is trying to, like, nurture the other young minds in our generation, like the millennials, that large group of people that don't follow religion. He's trying to get them on that same board, I believe.
No, I mean, I agree with that too. I agree with that. And that's a powerful thing that you said. The fact that Kanye is the one doing it, and mm-hmm. not, I mean, anyone who does it, it's a beautiful, it's an awesome, it's probably the most powerful thing you could do in your life. But the fact that he's doing it when he has a lot of millennials looking at him, and just people even younger than that and older than that, it shows that this guy can make that transformation in his life, or at least attempt to, because I'm not with him on a day-to-day basis to see and analyze every little thing that he does to see if he's really living this life of God. But if he can at least attempt it and start walking that path with the influence that he has, as well as having the world at his fingertips, and really could be accessing a lot of more devilish things or things that aren't so resourceful to a clean spirit, mm-hmm. then, you know, for him to take that stand shows that it can at least inspire the next person.
Yeah, I think I like how you said inspire. I just thought about how Tupac was like, yo, I am going to inspire the mind to change the world. I'm not saying Kanye is doing it, but I'm saying, like, with that kind of inspiration, it just reminds me of something so positive and so powerful, like that message alone. And honestly, I think those words from Tupac could be added onto everybody's life. Like, how can I change the world to do something positive? And this is one great step for Kanye West. Mm-hmm. I think it changes the hip hop game a little bit. I don't know if he's gonna have another album like this. I kind of don't want him to, but I kind of want him to. On the plus side, he's following his faith continually. On the negative side, it's like, it may sound redundant. You know what I mean? You don't want to bash people's heads in like Jehovah's Witnesses with the Bible, you know? Mm-hmm. But as far as the benefits of this kind of album in the rap game, you get people away from that whole, the whole genre of dealing drugs and selling whatever kind of narcotics or popping pills or whatever, all that violence atmosphere that we've all grew up on. You get people away from that and you get them back in the church. Not saying that everybody's got to go to church and praise the Lord. You can praise them in your own ways, right? But you get people starting to think about this. Like, it's a topic of conversation now. And as long as people are thinking about it, I think he's done his job.
Right. And I think that he's creative enough that if he does stay on this path, that he'll find a way to make it new and refreshing, even if that's with new collaborations or different types of projects. He may get into movies and do different, you know, movies for God. Who knows what he'll end up doing? And people act like this is so left field for Kanye because of how he's been the past few years of his life. But we forget that his first single was Jesus Walks. Like, he came out, he started there, he got lost somewhere, and then found his way back. So if he stays, that's on him, and we'll, you know, that remains to be seen. One thing I wanted to say is you said something about church. Like, that's something that people have to know as well. Like, just because you go to church on a Sunday, you just get up and you feel like, you know, I go to church on a Sunday, that doesn't make you a religious person. That doesn't make you a spiritual person, at least. Like, you, it has to be in what you do. Your mindset, your behaviors have to change. Your daily approach. I would even be consistently trying to read the Bible at least once a day, because as human beings, we're easily programmed. We're impressionable. So if you're feeding yourself with this good knowledge, then you have to live that word. It has to be in your heart. It has to be all you see, all you feel, all you think. And when temptation comes over you, you have this as your weapon, as your shield. But if you don't have these teachings in your head that have already happened in life, if you don't have these lessons, if you don't have all these things ready to go when it comes to knowing what the Bible says, you're more likely to be led astray. And I wanna get your take on this, Taekwon, but I wanna be vulnerable first and say that, you know, throughout my life I've struggled to determine which God is the real God. Is Jesus the real God? Is it another God? Is it just a higher power that we can't even understand? Because I came up in a Christian household, not like overly religious or strict, but the religion that my parents believed in and what I went to on Sundays was a church, and it was a Christian church. And, you know, as I study philosophy and things like that, you know, they start to get you into some deep thinking and questioning. And I kind of found myself like knowing that there's a God because of how it worked in my life, but not knowing exactly which one to point to, or because there's so many religions. And then you find out like Hinduism is the actual oldest religion recorded by man. So then it's like, is that the real one? Is it not? And then, you know, a Christian will tell you, well, that's the devil trying to confuse you by developing other works of God just so you don't claim and you don't say Jesus's name, because once you announce that name as the savior, the devil has lost, right? So I'm working on that. I've been going to church the past couple Sundays. I've been reading the Bible daily, listening to different pastors online, and just trying to refine myself and ask myself what sticks most true to my roots and what speaks to my heart the most.
All right. Before I get into that, you reminded me. Remember we used to go to Bible study?
Yeah.
That was back in the day. Oh, those were good times.
Uh-huh.
And, I forget. What's his name? What's the pastor's name?
Pastor Gary. I've been watching him on Facebook, funny enough. I've been watching him on Facebook lately. Yo, he be having me dying. He be speaking that word, though, but he's funny, too.
So let's give a shout-out to Pastor Gary. I remember going to Bible study, and we must have been like 14, 15 at the time.
Yeah, like 14, 16. 15.
And I think that's the time where it's the time where a lot of young kids start to make mistakes and go down the wrong path. So shout-out to Pastor Gary for being there to, you know, steer us on the right path. You know, make sure we're doing our due diligence of life, you know, in Christ and everything like that. Mm-hmm. As far as the other question, the ultimate question, how many gods are there? Is there one God? What do you believe in? I think there is one God. I truly believe there is one God. Everybody has a different religion. I've studied religion to a certain extent. I'm not like fully versed in everything that's in the Bible. I'm not versed in the Quran at all. But from my understanding, they were comparing Muhammad in the Muslim religion to that of a messenger. Allah is a God. And they also said, like, Jesus is God, but Jesus is also a messenger as well. Like, it's like so many different, because they believe Jesus is a messenger, I believe. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna sum it up to, I believe in one God. Jesus is God's son. And I think that in the Bible, they also said there are no other gods. There's only one supreme being.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go with that faith. You know, that's what I've been taught in my life. I used to go to church with my grandmother on Sundays. My grandmother still prays. I got a call today. It's Thanksgiving. I got a call today.
Some wild guy.
I'm trying to get that football game in. definitely, I think as long as you believe in something, don't let nobody tell you different. Right?
Absolutely. And one interesting thing to help those out there, actually listen to Pastor Gary. He kind of broke this down in the past weeks listening to him. If someone's trying to find the distinction between different religions, like which one is right, which one is wrong, blah, 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 from his take and from what I've read so far in the Bible, This is the stark contrast between Christianity and other religions. So when you say Islam and things of the like, the difference between the two is that the Old Testament, for example, is about the law. Moses came down, had the Ten Commandments, you got to follow this, whatever, whatever. The thing was that people, and the law is based on action, on works, right? If you pray five times a day, like some of those in the Islam belief, then you're doing the holy thing, you're doing the right thing. But the New Testament is to say, like, God sent his son. It's like, but it is God. It's God coming down in human form, fusing spirit and flesh together, mm-hmm. and showing that grace, forgiveness, love, that's the way, because we can't fulfill works of art. We can't fulfill works. The human cannot accomplish it for a lifelong span of the law, of doing these works every single day. You're going to mess up somewhere. That's why grace, forgiveness, and Jesus became the answer through the love. And that's why he died for our sins, because it's to the point where, like, if Jesus, the perfect being, can be killed by those in the flesh, if those in the flesh will go to that far to even kill God, then it's like, well, let me not get too far into that, because I don't know if I'm speaking fact with that. I'm speaking what I remember. But what I will speak with fact is the fact of that's the difference between the religions, that all the other ones are based on works of art and the law, even like the Torah, things, et cetera, like that. But Jesus is about the forgiveness. And he says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, meaning this is how it was always supposed to be.
Right.
But since you guys didn't believe in me, since you guys didn't believe in the grace, the love, the forgiveness, all that stuff, okay, God was like, let me send you Moses. Okay, so let me show you why. He got to play this game with us. Let me have you do the works then. Do the works. Do all these works. Follow these Ten Commandments and do what I say every single day. Oh, you can't do it, right? So I got to send my son to show you the way to do it, and you're going to be forgiven if you claim his name, because he died for your sins to the point that we would kill God, in a sense. Humans in flesh will kill God. And then that gets into like the devil and all these other things. And I'm going on a little bit of a tangent. This is going to be the last little part that I'll say. Unless you have something to chime in. You want to chime in real quick?
Let me just say, because in addition to what you were saying, Jesus died for our sins. At that point in time, I remember him dying for our sins was a fresh slate for everybody type shit. And also, that whole him giving us grace means we no longer had to sacrifice animals every time we broke a commandment or anything like that, you know?
Okay.
So ultimately, though, I think we are straying away too far from the album itself, you know, and how it does the justice. But it's good content. We might have to do like a part two with like just spirituality, you feel me?
We should do a part two. And I think it's still a line, because what I'm saying is we started off by breaking down the album, and we also said that we want to talk about how that relationship with God could play in someone's life, right? And Kanye being solidified in a sense and not doing it for fame means that he has to go ahead and live this day by day thing. I just want to share one more insight, and then we could be done with it. The last thing I was going to say with the flesh and spirit is that the idea is that since we are flesh and spirit, we have those temptations, right? And the woman is, in a sense, the most powerful being. Why? Because she is the flesh, but she also is the bearer of life. She's physical and spirit as well, but she can bear life where man can't. And the thing is that since the woman has that power in this material world, in the matter world, in the flesh world, and therefore the flesh is also privy to what? Emotions, anxiety, temptation, fear. The devil works on her a little harder through those emotions to try to tempt her. So when they say Eve ate the apple and all these other things, and why a man, because women have an issue when they hear about being submissive, right? The real thing is a spiritual submission. It's the man is supposed to be the leader and dominant in the sense of like they're able to stay on that rightful path where they're not like the ruler of the earth in the sense like how a woman is, or so connected to those earthly emotions as the woman is. Though we do have temptations, we are prone to sin and all these things. The devil almost wants her the most in those emotional ways. And that's why sometimes if a man is on his vision and going after his path, a woman may have those anxieties or those fears that kind of conflict where he wants to go, or even could be, again, tempted by that apple. But we could go ahead and speak about, you know, more of that in part two. I just wanted to get that out for, like, those who may be in a relationship as well, walking the spiritual path. You're going to have your own calling and direction. And if you're a man that's leading the right way, you're going to let the father speak first. You lead from that and guide the women. That doesn't mean women are any less than us. They're also the masters of emotion. They can nurture because of that. They know how to take care of a baby. They can bring life. You know what I'm saying? So it's a balance, but it's just like we have to, when we're walking that spiritual path, we got to know that there are temptations. Even how we said with Kanye and Kim, how she was like, well, I'm not ready to go for that transformation, you know, just because you're on your path right now. You know, so it's a fight, but it's like, if you're really about something, you're going to make sure that you see it through no matter what.
Max, I want to add on that we've watched Kanye West evolve as a person from day one to now. He's went through his ups and downs like a normal person. I mean, he's had some extreme things happen in his life, like his mother dying, being blackmailed by his cousins. And, you know, he wasn't really too, I guess, close with the family he grew up with in Chicago and all that stuff like that. But watching him evolve into this holy person or whatever, whatever you want to call it as, his holy transformation, right? Watching him do that should be inspiration to everybody who's going through some type of rough patch in life, you know? And I'm not saying that submitting your life to God is an easy thing. It takes time and patience. You can't just say, yo, I prayed 5 days this week, where my blessings at? Like, God is going to test you. Like, yeah, you prayed 5 days, but are you acting holy when you're out in the streets? You know what I mean? Are you doing the right thing? Every time, like, you have a questionable, ethical decision to make, are you doing the right thing, right? These are the tests that you have to live by. Your blessings aren't going to come when you want them to. So just be patient and keep submitting and keep trusting in God. God will not steer you wrong.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great way to end it. So we just want to thank you guys for watching the Competent Conversations podcast. We really do appreciate your viewership. Today is actually Thanksgiving. So I want to let you guys know that I am thankful for you guys. Thank you for supporting us. I'm thankful for technology for allowing us to get this message out to speak to a mass amount of people. You know what I'm saying? So Taquan, I'm appreciative of you as a co-host and being a great friend on top of that. So yeah, that's what I got to say. And go ahead, say your piece, because then I was going to tell them where to follow us and whatnot.
Yeah, I'm thankful for everybody in my life who's been supportive in any type of way. You know, like if you like my pictures, to like if you actually talking to me on the phone like every day. Like, I think everybody who has had a positive effect on me, everybody who's motivated me to do what I do and to convince me to go further, that's what means the most to me at this point in life. Because ultimately, I like to be as selfless as possible. So this is my way of like giving back, you know what I mean? So I'm thankful for everybody, thankful for you, obviously, you know, thankful for my parents, family. About to go on a whole tangent, you know what I mean? Like, I can make a whole list, but, you know, thank you for God for just even allowing me to be here. Also, I don't know, you're about to close out the episode, but I do want to say that this is episode 7. Yeah, I didn't see number 6 because number 6 is audio only, but we got a link posted up for that, so you can view that on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you view podcasts. Episode 6 is on there. We're talking about accountability.
Yep, and all you got to do is type in Competent Conversations and we'll pop up. I'm actually also thankful for the people who've done wrong by me in life because it made me to who I am today. I really appreciate y'all. Thank you guys so much. It made me to who I am today. I love it. Thank you. But like I said, you know, there's a lot of things to be thankful for. You silly for sending that. Okay, guys, so we're going to wrap it up, and we want to tell you where you could find us, where you could get some more content. Mm-hmm. Myself, Rashard Neal, you can find me on Instagram at freedom.fit.coaching. You can find me on YouTube at Freedom Fit Coaching, Snapchat, Rashard.Neal. Where else? My website, RashardNeal.com, and I'll post any other links below. Taquan, tell them where they can find you at, my guy.
You forgot your Facebook, Rashard Neal. How dare you forget that Facebook?
Thank you. Rashard Neal Facebook.
On Facebook, Taquan Lino is where you can find me. Snapchat, Instagram, all I do is fit. I got a website coming, so look out for that. We have the Competent Conversations podcast page as well. That's competentconversations_. And my email is, all I do is fit@gmail. competentconversations@gmail is another email address. You can hit us up with any questions or any pieces of information you want us to talk about, whatever. You know, we check that on a daily basis. So go ahead and hit us up.
Wait, Taquan, I thought your Snapchat was Ambitious Tay.
Oh, yeah, I changed it. Because remember the last episode, I was going to change it. Then I changed it. So all I do is fit.
Wait, so did you change the tag or you made a new one?
Made a whole new one.
Okay, guy, I see you. I see you.
Everything's synchronized.
You know what I mean? Like, I see you. I see you. That's what's up. So like he said, all I do is fit on Snapchat. But all right, guys. Oh, yeah, my email. I didn't mention that. That one is novi@richardneal.com. So we appreciate you guys for watching episode 7. We hope you enjoyed it. We got more content coming soon. Take care.